Welcome to Benign Chaos, where anything seemingly goes, but there might just be some meaning to it all. I'm half the voice of this journey. My name is Shelry.
And I'm the other half. My name is Angel.
All right. I get so nervous because I'm doing the intro. All right. And back to the center. Okay. Okay, welcome to Benign Chaos. And today we're talking about owning any magic or power that you have disowned. The idea came from a SARC interview that Jen Lemon did. I'm doing the Mondo Biondo online course. I'm going to go ahead and do a little plug since I'm using one of their things from their course. It's MondoBiondo.org. And I'm doing their online course. And one of the things they have is interviews. And they did this interview with SARC. And Jen Lemon is asking SARC, who is a creative person, a creative, wonderful person. Anyways, and she's saying,
can you give a little like a breakdown of this person, SARC, because I don't know who it is.
She's just very creative and inspirational. All her art, which is, I would describe it as either folk art or some people see it as childlike. It's always full of inspirational sayings. She's always trying to get people to believe in themselves and believe in their own work and believe in their worth, and that's all in her art. And that's what she
very
does.
Very cool.
Yes.
Okay,
she
check it out.
And anyways, Jen Lemon is asking her, she says it's easy for people to see successful people as coming to their dreams easily, that they're just that way, that dreams come easily to them, they're just that kind of person. She says that some people might not imagine that a dreaming life is for them, that it's only for a certain kind of person. That they might imagine is more whimsical or more prone to accepting magic. And she asked Jen, what does she say to that? Jen asked SARC, what does she say to that? And SARC says, well, you know, I've been teaching and facilitating workshops for almost 25 years, and so I really do firsthand hear a lot of, well, it must be just you. And people will say to her, oh, you're one of those people with an extra wide halo, meaning that she's special and that's why she can be so creative and amazing and make her dreams come true. And she says, so we have to spend some time in class talking about how they are that person too, that they are either idealizing SARC or they're disowning their own magic because they're scared. And that's the part that really resonated with me, was disowning your own magic. And that's what we're talking about today.
Yes.
So we'll start with the first question for Shelry. What parts of yourself or your art, if those two things can be separated, have you disowned? What personal magic have you disowned?
Well, I think right now I'm in the phase of trying to own everything. But there was a huge time in my life, and this is when I knew you, when we were younger, that I was so scared of everything. I was in a very fearful state of mind, and I just wouldn't let myself go outside of my boundaries, and I couldn't even imagine outside of my boundaries. I mean, it wasn't even the fear keeping me in there. It was the lack of being able to think, how do I get from like point A to point B? So all the people I saw that did all these amazing things were kind of, you know, like surreal people. They didn't seem real because I couldn't even imagine how you'd get to the point where you could backpack across Europe by yourself. It didn't even, you know, come into my mind. How could you do that? These people are just, you know, they must be a different species because I couldn't even picture it. So I think I disowned everything when I was younger. And it was only until I threw myself into situations where I had to learn to be creative and learn to be stronger and learn to see outside the box, like going into the military, where I didn't have a choice but to do things outside of my comfort zone and learn how to do them, that I started to realize it's possible that I could do things, that anybody could do things. But I had to get out there and realize that, because my family didn't really know how to, and so they couldn't teach me how to. So that was my journey with disowning my magic. And I look back and I'm amazed. I just can't believe how many opportunities that I didn't take because I just didn't know they were there. What about you?
Well, actually, I have a question real quick.
Okay.
You're talking about, this was a while back. So what about now? Do you feel like that you've claimed all this back?
I think I have with a vengeance. I think I've just gone overboard.
That's cool.
But
that is very cool.
I wanted to bring up a few times that I did go outside of them, and some of those, a few of those were with you. And I meant to send you a picture of a cake we made a long time ago that said, "Celebrate, Dick's dead." Do you remember that?
Oh my gosh. That was at the co-op
Yes.
when we were in, and we put on a mystery or something
A murder
like that.
mystery, and we created it all ourselves, and we gave everybody characters, and I think that was a little bit of our creativity and passion coming out, and everybody loved it. We had
That is very cool. I have such vague memories of that. It was an age ago.
yes, but it was great because it reminds me of one of the times that coming outside of myself and going outside of the boundaries and trying something new. Even though it was little, it came out, so I remember that.
Right.
Yeah, and also our fajita party from hell.
I
You
remember
guys
that. Yes, I have
see
that.
it?
I have one of
Every
those, yes.
now and then it would pop its head out, but for the most part, I was kind of stuck back then. So what about you?
Well, I see. I think I'm still stuck. Now, not to the degree that I was when we were in college, but for me, it's my creativity. Because your creativity cannot be separated from yourself. You're exposing yourself. Whenever you put your creativity out there, you're pretty much naked.
Yes.
You're saying, "Here's my naked self," and that scares me a lot. There's just parts of myself that I don't think I want people to see. And it's not only that, but there's also when you're totally vulnerable like that, and I'm mainly talking about my writing,
Right.
putting writing out there. When you're totally vulnerable like that, anybody that says any kind of criticism, it's such a severe wound,
Yes.
because you're so vulnerable. And so that's I do I disown my creativity? I know I certainly constantly say it's not good enough. I'm my poor husband. I'm constantly asking him for reassurance, and he's a sweetie, and he gives it to me. But the problem is, it's a bottomless question. He could never give me enough because it can't come from him. It's got to come from me, and it's not from the inside of me yet.
Right.
And the other problem is when you constantly look for external reassurance to prop you up, any external criticism knocks the whole structure down
Yes.
again.
Because inside of
So.
you've got those voices telling you aren't good enough, and it's very easy to not believe the outside voices that are saying you are, but the one that says you aren't, matches with that inside voice, and you're like, yeah, I am not good enough.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So that's what I'm struggling with right now. And you said to go outside your comfort zone, and it'd be interesting if I actually did release some of my writing into the world and got both the praise and the criticism, which happens. It happens with every piece of art that's put out into the world.
Right.
And get out of my comfort zone like you were talking about and see if I can get past this. I actually don't know how you get past this, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know. I
So,
don't know how it is. I know I did, but I don't know why or how. It just kind of came about.
Well, I wrote down, well, that's the next question if you want to go on to it. Why do you think you disowned it in the first place? These parts of yourselves, disowned these parts of yourself in the first place. What are both the internal external influences that, helped you give up these parts of yourself?
Oh, this is a really deep podcast today.
We'll do something silly next time.
Okay, I'm not that old, I'm not that wise, but I do feel like most of the things we do in life is learned. Not, I don't think we're born knowing how to be amazing people or how to be bad people or whatever it is, that you choose to pursue. And I don't know, if it's nurture versus nature or whatever, but I do think it's learned somehow, so I feel like we all have creativity in us when we come into the world, but whether it gets expressed or not is from people around us and the environment around us. And my environment was not very conducive to expressing yourself and exposing yourself and being raw and naked in front of people, you know. It wasn't at all. It was a matter of, you know, being sarcastic and being abrasive and, you know, looking for other people's open weak spots and attacking.
That's funny, Shelry.
We were like, tigers in a cage. Without any food, no.
That's funny.
So it was, for me, it was a long process of first getting away from that environment and then starting to let myself, you know, be expressive and do little pieces by little pieces until I felt comfortable, and then I started making bigger steps. So, you know, my dad was a very adventurous person, but a horrible teacher. He was the sarcastic one, and he was like, he did all this amazing stuff, but he just couldn't teach it. And my mom was very fearful. She, like, had her little world, and so I didn't have, in this particular area, I didn't have good role models. They were good in other areas, but not this. So I think those were the influences. I think what kept me going was having traveled, and you traveled too, you know, traveling all over the world, you see things. So as a young child, I got to travel, and that kept my mind open to possibilities.
Uh-huh.
So I think those,
true, actually.
Yeah. So I think those were my influences that made a huge impact as to how much I expressed myself and where I am today. So,
I guess for me, it was just, I came up with two of them. One was fear of being so naked in front of others. And that actually goes to the fear of being ridiculed and the fear of being judged. And actually, that's what I think.
Uh-huh.
And everybody's like this. And it's just, it's a human trait. And I think it's something that people constantly battle with. And that's because I judge and I ridicule. You know, you see someone's little piece of crappy art and you go, ooh, that's a little piece of crappy art. But the problem is, when you do that, and I'm going to do a quote from Sharkboy and Lava Girl, because I adore Sharkboy and Lava Girl.
That was a fun show. That was very fun.
I love that. Yeah, it's Robert Rodriguez. Once again, nobody liked it, which I don't understand, because it's an awesome show. But in it, Max says, don't smash people's dreams because you'll smash your own as well. Mm-hmm. And it's true. When you ridicule other people's stuff, you're ridiculing the process, and I'm part of the process. So I'm, you know what I mean? It's full circle.
Yeah.
So
just on a tangent, me and Steve's kids like Sharkboy and Lava Girl, especially in 3D.
I'm so glad. My kids love Sharkboy and Lava Girl, and I like Shark. I cry when Sharkboy has, I mean, Lava Girl has to dive down and save Sharkboy. Like, oh. She's sacrificing herself. And then she's light. Oh, she's light. I think it's got a great message, too. It's got an awesome message.
Yes, it does. I love that show. I did.
Okay, so question number three, which is closely tied to the second one. So after you've disowned these parts of your personality or your art, how can you reclaim it? How do you deal with the negative criticism both inside and out?
Well, for me, I used to be really defensive because I was so critical, you know. I would attack anybody, and therefore I hated being attacked because, you know, it was kind of a power trip thing. But when I started getting more comfortable, I really, first of all, I try not to destroy other people's dreams. I try to always see the beauty in other people's things because there's always something beautiful there if you look for it. You can find ugliness or beauty, whatever you want to see. It's there.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
So I try to see the beautiful because it's more fun. I don't know. And it just makes me feel happier. And I like being happy. So, and I haven't had to deal with too much negative criticism yet in my life. From people I don't know. From people in my life, you know, you always get your feedback from the people in your life when you've done something to hurt them or whatever. And you have to learn to deal with that. But criticism from unknown people, I haven't had to deal with too much yet. But I took some hints, and I told you about this earlier, about the from the podcast I listened to. And the two long-running ones that I've listened to, they both had an instance where they had this criticism that they got from a listener they didn't know. And the one guy on Sci-Fi Dig, he searched down deep inside himself and did a whole episode, I think it was a whole one, about the particular incident. And he kind of read off what the guy had written him. And he talked about how he thought he might not do it anymore. And some of his fans said, please do it. But then after the episode, all these people wrote into him and said, you know, the guy didn't know what he was talking about. Everybody has to be critical. Keep doing what you're doing. We love your show. So he was very thoughtful about it and just kind of let his listeners know. And he searched inside himself. And I thought that was a good way to handle it. And then the other one, the two girls who do Look at His Butt, which is another one of my podcasts I listen to, they just read the woman's email online and made fun of her. So I just thought that was great. I was like, yeah. So both of those were pretty funny and good. And, like, you know, they dealt with it and they moved on. And they didn't take it too personally. And I guess that's the key. I know you always hear that, but I'm learning how not to take things personally.
You want to know something interesting talking about this? Okay, I have been reading. It's an interesting book, and I even wrote down a quote from it for this podcast. It's called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, and there's parts of it that I really like, and there's parts of it I don't. And so we're talking about how, and you just mentioned this, how to deal with negative criticism. And he says, you're just talking about taking things personally. He says, don't take things personally. He says, this is a quote, nothing other people do is because of you, it is because of themselves.
Yes.
All people live in their own mind. If someone gives you an opinion and says, hey, you look so fat, don't take it personally, because the truth is that person is dealing with his or her own feelings, beliefs, and opinions.
Yeah.
This is, that person tried to send poison to you, and if you take it personally, then you take that poison and it becomes yours. You eat all their emotional garbage and now it becomes your garbage.
Yeah, it's like a disease spreading from person to person.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting, and that's what you were just talking about. Now, he goes on, I disagree with some stuff he says. Now, he's a master in this spiritual, his own spirituality, the Toltec spirituality.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
And I'm just someone reading a book, so he probably could explain why I'm getting this wrong. But it seems to me a very, because he goes on to say, because you were talking about the guy who does Sci-Fi Dig, and then he had everybody write in and say, don't quit doing this. You know, that's just one guy, and there's lots of us that really like what you do. Well, Don Miguel Ruiz goes on to say, don't take any of the good stuff either, because that's just them as well. So if someone says, hey, you're awesome, don't take that on board as well. And to me, that's a very isolating lifestyle, you know, where you take nothing, where there's no connection between people.
Well, I have... In my spiritual quest, I have come across some of those beliefs, those ideas, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. I don't really understand it, but I choose to enjoy the positive, and I'm trying to let go of the negative. Now, maybe one day I'll get what some of these people mean by not taking any of it in. Maybe it's not anything I think it is. I don't know yet, you know, but I have heard that before. I'm not sure really what that means yet.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, it seems very isolating to me. But I liked very much what you said about, and especially what he was talking about, when someone's being negative, it's their own stuff going on. It's their own stuff in their head, like if they've got their own hang up about being fat.
Yes.
Or their own, you know, and then I like what you said about it's kind of like a disease that spreads when that poison spreads from person to person to person to person.
Yeah.
So I thought that was, because that is what it feels like.
It is. It's like, oh, that hurt. Ow.
Right. And well, then like you take on the whole negativity about being fat, and then you see someone that's fat and you go, hey, you're fat.
Yes.
And you know, just keeps on going.
And you tell two friends and they too tell two friends.
They tell two the next thing you know, you've got a problem with the models.
Oh, it's fun being human sometimes. it's, oh, go ahead.
I say it's hard being human sometimes too.
it?
I know when someone says, "Hey, you're fat," I just want to say, "Fuck you! Fuck you and your fucking fat ass!" Sure, that doesn't make it into any spirituality. I don't think that's in any spiritual text. Yeah, just cuss them out. Just.
It'll make you feel better. The world is
Yes.
shit again.
Haven't read that any. I have no quotes for that one.
Not yet, neither do I. But I do know some people spiritually live by cursing. I've experienced them. Okay. Well,
I think we've gotten off
I
topic.
think that maybe we've taken a right turn. Well, let me ask you, do you have you figured a way out to deal with the negative criticism yet?
Well,
Besides the cursing.
which actually doesn't work. That's why it's not in any
Yeah.
spiritual text. It never works. I've done it and it doesn't work. No, that's my problem, and that's why I keep all of my writing close to me, and I don't let it out in the world because I'm just afraid of being naked.
Yeah.
But I think your idea of going outside your comfort zone is the way to go. Kind of like, you jump out of planes,
Yes.
and there's no other way to do it. You just got to jump out of the plane. Oh, I have a quote. I'm the quote lady
Yes.
from Steve Jobs. Oh, no, this is a different one. But he it is about how to kind of do these things. If you talk about jumping out of a plane and just doing it. And this is from his 2004 Stanford commencement speech, and he was talking about when he was 17, he heard the quote, "If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right." And it made a really strong impression on him. And from that time on, he would ask himself every morning in the mirror, "If today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I'm about to do today?" And he said, whenever the answer has been no for too many days in a row, he knows that he needs to change
That
something.
that's really good.
And then this is the part that I really like of that he wrote. "Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in my life, because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you're going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There's no reason not to follow your heart."
Yeah.
So that's the whole just jumping out of the plane
Yes,
right there.
I listened to that commencement speech and I did like it a lot. I thought it
That
was
was
really
good,
good.
wasn't
Yes,
it?
yeah.
It was very good.
I had a
Yeah.
history teacher once who said she had, now this is like hearsay, but she had read a report once about growing old and interviews with elderly people and what their biggest regrets were. And the majority of them, it was the regrets of things they didn't do, not the things that they had done.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So they're saying I regret not going to Paris, or I regret
Right.
not telling that woman I loved her.
Right.
Right.
Because in hindsight, it's all kind of like, what would it matter now? Now that
Right.
I'm 85
Yeah.
and. Yeah. So I think that I liked, it was really interesting listening to his speech because it was kind of raw. You know, he did bring up some things that were very personal and just threw them out there. And it's kind of
Yes,
the
yeah.
opening yourself up and just here it is, here I am. I like that.
The thing about it is, yeah, if you notice some of the best stuff out there, that's it is people just being raw. It's people being honest and I think that's what it is. It's they're being true, Anyways, yeah, that's the stuff that I've noticed. The stuff that's really good. And it could be anything. It could be a commencement speech. It could be a painting.
Yeah.
But if it's somebody that has just opened themselves and let people see in, that's the stuff that's really honest and powerful.
Yep. And on a little bit in relationship to what he said about looking in the mirror every day and, you know, am I happy? Am I happy? And if it's no too many times in a row. And also about, you know, dying and would you appreciate your life? I remember there was a girl that I went skydiving with a lot, and she said that each day when she went up to go skydiving, she'd ask herself, you know, if I died today, would I be okay with it? And she'd always answer yes, because she
Oh, so
did
that's
what she
so
loved.
nice.
So, yeah.
That's very awesome.
So,
Okay. Once again, the serious podcast. Let's go to number four now, shall we?
do it.
Okay, this quote is from Fame 2009. When I first heard it, I actually did not agree with it, but I think I agree with it now that I've thought about it some more. And this was, I wish I had the actor's name. When he delivered the line, it was so beautiful. So I cannot deliver this line the way that he did. Anyways, the quote is, "Everything you're ashamed of, all the parts of yourself that you keep secret, everything you'd like to change about yourself, it's who you are. That's your power. Deny it and you're nothing." Do you agree with this statement or disagree with it?
I didn't see the movie, so I'm not really sure what it's in reference to. So I don't know how to take it. So I wasn't sure. I wrote that on there. I'm not sure what this means. If you want to like elaborate a little bit on maybe the context or.
Well, it was a young boy that's supposed to be in a high school, and it was a young man that had come from a rough upbringing and was very aggressive towards life, had a very aggressive attitude, and also was a bit cagey, kept a lot to himself, and he's trying to be an actor. And the rest of the quote actually says, "You deny it and you're nothing," and he goes on to say, "And you will never be a great actor." They're going to this school of performing arts, this high school of performing arts. But if you take it out of context, to me there was two things that it implied, and one is your experiences, your terrible experience, because we all have bad experiences. We lose loved ones, or you've been abused by somebody, or I'll give an example that's very personal. And this is the experience part. This isn't like the surface level. Also, I mean, you can be ashamed about being unfit, or you can be ashamed about being overweight or having rosacea, or that's kind of a surface level version of it. But I remember that I teased you once about losing your dog, and that's because I had no understanding of what it was like to lose a dog. And then when I was in my 20s, I lost my dog, and I'd always read that quote, "She couldn't stop crying." You read those in romance. "Oh, she couldn't stop crying." It's like, oh, whatever, you can stop crying. And then I lost my dog. I lost my dog of 9 years to cancer. And honest to goodness, I couldn't make the tears stop. It's the first time I'd ever experienced the whole, "You can't make this tear stop." And now that I have an understanding of what it's like to lose an animal companion, I would never tease anybody anymore about, you know what I mean? Now that I have a personal understanding of it. So I think that's what it is. You go through these traumatic events, and by going through the traumatic event, you have a deeper understanding of what people are feeling than you would just from someone coming up saying, "Oh, this person's lost an animal companion. They're really sad." I'm like, not a person. How could they be really sad?
Yeah, no, I do understand what you mean. There was a friend of mine in high school who the same kind of thing. I mean, I didn't tease her. I just didn't understand. You know, she had lost both parents, and to me, it was just like, oh, that's sad. But it never even occurred to me what that really meant. You know, until I lost my mom, and then there was this whole awakening of what it means to lose a parent. So, you know, everything is a new experience, even though I lost my dog, and each thing is new, and unless you go through it, it's really hard to relate to somebody else that has had that experience. You know, I don't know what it's like to lose a spouse. I don't know what it's like to lose a child. So all these are. And so if in that respect, if this is if that quote is kind of dealing with that and accepting that and let that come out of you as part of who you are and what you do, I could see that. I could totally see just saying, you know, all of this is me, and I'm okay with that.
Do you think that you have the young man in the movie was trying to escape his hard life? He's trying to hide all of it from the people around him. Do you think that you've done that? Do you think you've tried to run away from disturbing experiences?
Yes.
Okay. But what the next question is, do you think you've given up part of your power by running away from those disturbing experiences?
Oh, definitely. I ran away from everything. So, yeah, I think in running away, there was no way to... It was a way to keep me safe, but in keeping myself safe, I never stepped out of my boundaries, and therefore I never explored all the possibilities. So by running away from things that I was scared of because of my baggage, so to speak, I didn't see any of the beautiful things for so long, you know? So I would definitely agree with that. I would go with that, yeah. How about you?
Yeah, like I said, yeah, first I disagreed with it. And then after thinking about, you know, because we've all been through hard times. It's part of being alive.
Yeah.
There's wonderful things and there's hard things. And I hate to say it, but the hard things actually do give you a deeper understanding of, I don't know, of other people, actually.
Yeah.
And
as a friend of mine once said, okay, I have enough character now. I don't need any more.
That's what I feel. I think that's, you were talking about, what was it, that Buckaroo Banzai, the reason for time is so that everything doesn't happen at once? I think there's another reason for time. It's so you don't see the stuff coming. You're like, okay, all right, I have to go through that, and I'll be all, you know, I'll learn a lot, but I don't want to know it's coming.
Yes.
Just hit it with
And everybody on the outside
when it happens,
totally see it coming, or like, hey, there's a train right behind you. You're like, what? I can't understand what you're saying.
Yes.
I agree with that time thing, yes.
Okay, what about the superficial part of it? Because it does say whatever you're ashamed of. And you know, you can be ashamed of having rosacea, or you can be ashamed of having gray hair and you dye your hair all the time. Do you think that's something, you think you're disowning part of yourself and part of your power when it's something superficial like that?
I guess. I think that whenever you have something that's you don't like about yourself, then you really have to go through a journey to be okay with it. So, it, you know, artificially going, well, I'm okay with having rosacea, or I'm okay with being fat, or whatever it is you think is in your head, and you're just trying to put a front out there that you're okay, that's not really, it doesn't seem to help any more than being ashamed of it and hiding from it. So I think, you know, everybody has to go on their journey to be okay with it. And as much as I love quotes, and as much as I love philosophy and spirituality and learning from all of that, and here's a statement from a movie that's kind of profound in that way, just hearing the statements never help. You really have to go through the journey to learn about it until you can appreciate. And this is what pissed me off a long time ago when I found out that sayings are true. And I was like, how can these, like, well-worn sayings be true? They can't have any meaning. They're cliches. No, they can't be real, but they're cliches for a reason because they're true. And I also learned that all those movies where you'd have the hero or heroine going on this long journey, and they go to the wise person, and the wise person, they say, I need to, you know, I have to save the diamond to save the world, you know, the special diamond. And they're like, instead of telling them, oh, the diamond's over there, go get it, they're like, once you see into the pool of reflection, all the answers are clear. And you're just like, listen, old man, just tell this person what they need to know. But the person, then I finally realized, oh, because if they told them, they wouldn't go on the journey, and they had to go on the journey to become the person that could save the world. But they knew what they were doing. I'm like, oh, Why does the world have to be so hard? Oh, yeah. All that be.
No, I think there's. I'm sorry.
I just said all that became clear in my head when I realized, yeah, it's the journey.
I have nothing to add to that. That was a perfect answer. That was a wonderful, awesome answer. And I'm just going to let that stand. I'm not going to. That was great.
Oh, yeah. Those old wise people used to piss me off. Yeah.
Okay. We're actually out of time, but we have this last one about the last quote from Scott Ginsberg. So we'll just kind of hit it real quick and wrap it up. Never apologize for your art. Okay, never apologize for your art. I love that one. Love, love, love. Huh? And I'm gonna put that idea out there. Never apologize for your art, because the way I see art, it's not about perfection. It's about self-expression. Uh-huh. And we should never apologize for our honest communication with the outside world. And it doesn't matter if it's the crappiest piece of crap that ever was made. It's a stick figure that's painted outside the lines. Own it and never apologize for it. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on that one.
And you know what? I feel exactly the way you do. So I'm going to let that stand, because that's exactly how I felt when I saw that. I'm right there with you.
Okay, we are so over time.
All right.
We have to wrap it up. Okay, now, I guess we already have an ending.
Yeah. So,
okay.
There we go.
All right. There we go. We're done.
Thanks again for joining us on Benign Chaos as we take a rambling journey through the universe. I'm Shalri.
And I'm Angel.
And we bid you adieu.
Sayonara.
Arrivederci.
Ciao.
And farewell. Until next time.